Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us. Stephen St. John and AP Katie with Jake Gutierrez on this Monday, March 18th, 2024. Let's talk to college basketball insider Jarrett Sutton. Jarrett, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. Who did you? What's the last games that you've seen? So we know what's fresh in your mind.
Yeah, so I was out in Vegas. I had multiple conference tournaments out there. Had the WCC. So saw St. Mary's win the WCC, had Pac-12, Mountain West, and actually saw a couple games in the Big West. So saw UC Santa Barbara. They had a game against UC, Cal State Northridge. So saw that game. So I was kind of bouncing around. I think I had 14 games in 5 days. So it was a heck of a week out there. But saw a lot of ball, saw a lot of those West Coast teams I don't really get to see a ton of during the season. So productive trip. Saw some upsets, Arizona losing and Oregon kind of going on that run to steal a bid in the Pac-12 was pretty interesting. So happy for Dana Oldman and that staff and what they accomplished out there.
I was disappointed that Kim English and Providence were left out of the NCAA tournament, but a lot of bid stealers that took away spots from bubble teams.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the takeaway. Very unique of just kind of how the tournament bracket, you know, played out yesterday, and knowing that it was probably going to look a little different, giving the bid stealers. I think there were probably five of them, and there's no question the Big East probably felt that the most. You know, if you were one of the 4 to 6 teams that missed out on getting in the tournament, you know, you're sitting at home because of New Mexico, who I saw out in Vegas, who were great. I think they're going to be a really dangerous team in the tournament. NC State, Oregon, UAB, Duquesne, like those, the championship week usually kind of doesn't have much significance outside of the bid stealers. So really the conference tournaments really did play an impact in terms of, you know, turning these bids into kind of the stealing of these bids and really unprecedented in terms of how many bids were taken from those teams that were on the bubble. It's unfortunate Providence was one of those teams, and a lot of these teams that were left out, definitely some of them had a real serious case to be in the tournament. I don't like, you know, complaining about the bracket. I know we have to do that on Monday after the bracket's released of teams that didn't get in, and, you know, kind of there's always some sort of uproar. But there's definitely a case for a couple teams that made the tournament that I'm still kind of like puzzled by. And was hoping to see a few teams in the tournament to make the tournament a little bit more appealing. But here we are and we move forward. And so it's, you know, Kim had a good year. Providence had a great year in terms of what they were dealing with. And Devin Carter was player of the year, which I think is great. It was a successful season for Kim. I know he was frustrated and bummed that they couldn't get in the tournament, but you know, they left some games on the table too. There's no doubt about that.
We had some fun playing Tom Crean's rant, about how teams should not decline NIT bids, and he's very angry. And so, just for context, let's play some of this, and then I'll have a follow up for you. Here's Tom Crean, very mad at these teams that aren't playing in the NIT because they had to focus on the transfer portal, which opens today.
There's no question about it. I would want to coach. I would want to develop my team. You've got bigger staffs than you've ever had. There's plenty of time for the portal. There's plenty of time to talk to recruits. There's plenty of time to negotiate NIL deals. There's not plenty of time to play. There's not plenty of time to get your players on the floor and give them a chance to get better. There's not plenty of time for guys to continue to play that may never get to play again. And that, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. It's each coach's choice. I get it. But if you take away a chance to play the games, to put your team on the floor, let them opt out. All right, the bowl season has it all the time. Let it happen. Who cares? Give your players and coaches a chance to keep coaching and playing, wow. And don't shortchange. If a guy doesn't want to play, go sit out. If a coach doesn't want to coach, go recruit. But there's got to be enough people to put five, six, seven people on the floor and go play. Makes absolutely zero sense to me.
Okay, so you've heard his argument. Now, a broadcaster named J. Scott Smith pointed out that 7 years ago when Tom Crean was the head coach at Indiana, they declined an opportunity to host an NIT game in Bloomington because they didn't want to devalue the court by hosting an NIT game. They did play in the NIT, but he said they didn't want to host it to devalue the court. So, I mean, maybe Tom Crean...
Wow.
Maybe Tom Crean doesn't exactly... And then there's even the link here is the article you see from 2017. Indiana didn't want to devalue its home court by hosting an NIT game. So maybe,
I get that. That makes sense.
Well, then maybe Tom Crean should remember what he said about the NIT.
I mean, he still played in it, right?
Yeah.
They just didn't host the game?
Doesn't sound like he's a big fan of the NIT.
How does it devalue your court?
I don't know.
You don't play NIT games on that court. You want to play?
You do if you're not good enough to be in the NCAA tournament. Didn't that devalue it? Didn't he get fired? I mean, it's not like he devalued their home court more than the NIT did. I mean, I don't know. So, whatever.
Noted. Point noted.
Interesting. Now, interesting approach.
Misplaced arrogance.
But that's okay because this has been interesting to discuss because I think it's dumb that the transfer portal opens today.
Right.
The timing just doesn't make sense. And you've got teams that should be focused on the NCAA tournament having to worry about players being poached. And you've got teams, and you know this, the NIT, it depends on what school you are. If you're a mid-major team or a team that hasn't tasted much success, if you and KC ever got to the NIT, that'd be awesome. People would be jumping up and down. That'd be great. You know, if you're a high-major team, your fan base probably doesn't care about the NIT. It doesn't want to play in it. So it's not a blanket statement about the NIT. There might be, if you got a young coach with a young team, maybe it makes sense to go out there and play and learn how to win and try to win a trophy. If you're a coach that's on the hot seat for next year, and you feel like you're coaching to keep your job, then boy, I think you want to worry about the transfer portal and protecting the players you want to keep and trying to go out and get better players so you can get into the NCAA tournament. And so I kind of understand what Tom Crean says. I'm sure there are players out there that would love to extend their career, but I also understand because of the timing of it, you're putting pressure on these coaches, and they gotta devote a lot of time and effort into the transfer portal, right?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think that's my first thought is the fact that the portal opens today, to me, is ridiculous. There's too many teams that are, number one, they're committed to the current season they're playing, and that is the postseason, which you work all season for, a chance to play in the NCAA tournament. And for these teams that are taking NIT bids, you know, coaches always talk about competing. You know, that they want their team to compete, and although they don't make the NCAA tournament, it's an opportunity for them to compete, and it's an opportunity for them to play against other competition. And Coach Crean's right about development and, you know, playing guys, having a chance to go play in the garden. I mean, I know so much is made of the portal and transferring, but, you know, as a college athlete and, you know, minus the COVID year, you know, you still have 5 years to play for, and with the COVID year intertwined in that. So it's still, like, it goes fast. Your career in college goes really fast. And to have an opportunity, some of these guys to maybe have an opportunity to go play in the garden, that's awesome. Like, that's something to motivate. And I get the disappointment of not playing in the postseason. I'm fortunate enough to have played in the NCAA tournament my entire 4 years, and it was an incredible experience. But just the fact that you have something to look forward to in the postseason, in playing in the NIT, it's an opportunity to compete. And it's an opportunity to see, you know, how you respond from disappointment and moving on from not making the tournament. But I also think Coach Crean makes a good point that I think I'm really curious to see where these college programs and staff go from here. Because with the portal being open early, I disagree with that. But to me, these college coaches, if they're still coaching and they're putting all their emphasis into that, and there's a lot of, you know, things that they have to manage and oversee, but building the staff, and he mentioned that a lot of these coaching staffs, they're massive staffs now. Like, it's not just your, you know, all your three assistant coaches and your ops coordinator. There's just so many guys on staff now. And I'm curious how many are dedicated to, like, scouting or personnel or the portal or high school, because, like, Duke now has a general manager in position overseeing the basketball program that is really focused on NIL and money and that the business side of NIL world. And how much of that is dedicated to scouting? Because, like, for my standpoint, like, I work as a scout, and our coaches are more working as on the floor with our teams, they're coaching, they're in the day-to-day grind, and this is at the pro level. But I just feel like there's going to be a trend here in college where the coaches are going to be dedicated to coaching on the floor. There'll be a group working to really work in on the NIL space. And then the scouting part of it, like looking at talent, identifying who you want to bring into your program, whether it be on the high school side or in the portal. Like, that to me is the most interesting thing, because the timing of this right now with the portal being open, you have to recruit constantly. And I know coaches, once their seasons end, they want to get right to it in terms of hitting the portal, hitting recruiting, getting out on the road, doing those type of things that are a huge, huge part of the job in building for next season. So I get the frustration of, I think the biggest piece of this is just the portal being open today that makes that NIT, you know, invite a little bit of a question mark for coaches. But at the end of the day, they should accept that, because the most important thing is getting your current team and your roster to be on the floor, to grow, to learn, to hopefully maybe keep some guys that you want to keep from going into the portal, to have a chance to maybe compete for an NIT championship.
Man, you just brought up a point that is really interesting, with the idea that you might have to just start opening up your own scouting departments as teams if you have the budget for it, or find the budget for it, so you can actually look at all the players that could be in the portal. Do we really want this guy? Because we've even seen it at Kansas. Like, they've had some guys that have been successful in the transfer portal and other guys that got there and didn't belong, clearly. And you wonder, if they're scouting all the college basketball better, do teams have better success? And man, that's going to be really interesting. The other part that I thought of when you said this, Jarrett, is, you know, we talk about guys, you know, opting out in college bowl games. Could they do it in the NCAA tournament and things like that? Man, I feel like if we're going full on NIL, basically these guys are pros now, right? Guys are making six figures, sometimes supposedly even seven figures to play. There ought to be something. I want something in the contract that says, okay, you're a pro now. Like, you don't get to, I can understand a guy opting out when he's not getting paid, and at the next level, he's going to get paid. So being like, hey, I'm not playing because I got to make sure I protect myself. But if you're getting paid $100,000 a year, shouldn't there be some sort of stipulation that, hey, man, like, that's, you're like under contract. You're playing this year. I don't know. Is that, you think that's coming down the road?
Yeah, I agree with you, Nate. And I also think, you know, to the point about, you know, the NIL piece and could you opt out? You want to protect your health and you want to, you know, make sure you're not, you know, if you're not in the NCAA tournament and you're in the NIT, you know, there's a risk and, oh, you know, you might not be healthy for the pre-draft process. Well, the reality is some of these guys that think they're NBA caliber players and think they're going to be going into the draft, some of them aren't good enough. And, you know, it's like you're opening this door for players to, like, take themselves out of competition. And, you know, our process is much different than the NFL process. And I get the contract part of it and the money part of it of an NIL structure of a player that's, you know, worried about the future and is already thinking about the portal. And I think that's the frustration. It's not just players, it's coaches too, that are thinking, they were thinking about the portal before conference tournaments started. They were thinking about the portal 3 weeks ago, because it's just in the back of your mind of this date of, you know, Monday, March 18th, portal's open and it's free reign. And that is a big, big overtaking. And players are thinking about it so much too, because at the end of the season, if things haven't gone well, they're looking to the next thing. And, you know, there's a chance for them to continue to play, which I think is the most important. Some of these guys have to play. They need to play. you know, some of these guys are super raw, and they're not talented enough yet, and they need this experience, and they're already thinking about something that they shouldn't even be thinking about. And maybe, again, maybe that inner circle is in their ear and telling them things they don't necessarily need to hear. And that, to me, is the frustrating part, but it's part of just the world we live in now with NIL. It's just what it is. The coaches have to deal with it. The players have to deal with it. But I'm with you. Like, I think we're going to hopefully get to that point where if you're making NIL money and you're trying to pull yourself out and not compete, you know, how does that happen, right? I mean, you're now legitimately a pro. The amateurism is out. You need to play. And some of these guys, it's not just playing because you're honoring money and you're honoring a contract. You need to play for your own self. You need to play because you need that experience. You know, there's just so many opportunities you're going to get in college to play, you know, against this type of competition to get yourself maybe ready for the next level. And sometimes the next level might not be the NBA. It might be overseas. So there's so many things that go into this, especially with where we are right now. And it's just another example of why opening the portal today just doesn't make sense. And it needs to be punted for after the season, after the Final Four, after the national championship game, where there's just a more of an open understanding that it's the off season now. Now the portal can be open, and now some decisions can be made.
Jared Sutton's our guest. What do you think about Kansas and where they are? They're a 4 seed. They take on Samford with a potential matchup against Gonzaga, as long as they don't get upset by McNeese, and then possibly seeing Purdue in the Sweet 16. And, of course, Nate Bukati has them firmly planted in the Elite Eight in his bracket. But, what do you think about their draw?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a walk in the park draw, but I think it's a good draw for Kansas. You know, when I look at KU against the field, I think it was 8-6 they were against the field. You know, you look at their wins. I mean, they beat 2 number one seeds. They beat Tennessee. They beat Kentucky. They beat, you know, Baylor and Texas. I mean, they got good wins. UConn and Houston being there at the top. So good wins. I mean, you know, I know it's the season ended in Kansas in the Big 12 championship. Not how you wanted it, with guys banged up and the way they ended the end of the Big 12 slate there a couple weeks ago. Not great in terms of where you are going into the tournament. The key is health. There's no question about it. It's number one. If Hunter and Kevin can go, that's the most important thing by far, is those two guys. And we saw it in Kansas City, just how valuable those two guys are. They got to be on the floor. This Samford team, in terms of the matchup, is kind of interesting. Because, you know, this is a team that shoots the three ball. They got 6 guys that shoot over 40% from three. They play a ton of guys, too. I think 4 players average double figures. They got 10 guys that play 10 minutes. This team got smacked by Purdue, though. They have no wins over anybody in the top 100 of the KenPom. But the thing is, they shoot threes and they force turnovers. They're not a good defensive team by any means. And to me, the reason why Hunter is so important in this game, they need to own the paint and dominate the paint like Kansas should do in this game. And what Kansas's identity really is owning the paint. KJ, Hunter, being impactful on the glass, points in the paint. You know, hopefully Kevin can go to give them. To me, Kevin is so important because it adds a dimension to Kansas in the transition game, no matter who Kansas plays. Like, that's really important because Kevin is such a downhill force. He puts so much pressure on the rim with his size and, yeah, his defensive ability, but he adds another dimension, which Kansas needs offensively. But the key in the Samford game is really just the shooting of Samford. Their effective field goal percentage is very high, and they really shoot the three well, and they force turnovers, and they get a lot of steals. But in terms of, like, what could come down the road, like, McNeese might be a sneaky upset pick on Gonzaga. I just saw Gonzaga out west. They're definitely vulnerable. Like, it's not the same Gonzaga team. The fact that Gonzaga made the run they went on to get to the 5-1, they didn't win their conference tournament, which is rare to say. But that's going to be a pick that a lot of teams go with, or a lot of people go with, is the upset of McNeese over Gonzaga. That's an interesting 5-12 matchup. But you look at the rest of the bracket, like Tennessee is a 2. Dalton Neck is a problem. He is a full-blown bucket-getter, 3-level scorer. But if he doesn't make shots, who else steps up for Tennessee? Like, they're kind of a one-trick pony a little bit, where Dalton's got to be excellent every game. Now, Tennessee really guards and can get after you, and they're tough. And then you look at the other, you know, the 1 seed in Purdue, Like, Purdue's got so much pressure on them. I don't think that can be overstated of just how much pressure is on them to go on a run and make a Final Four. And that doesn't really bode well, especially with, you know, past history of them being upset early. So Purdue, I think, has, as the one of all the ones, I think they have the most pressure on them. And when I think of Kansas being on this side of the bracket, I think it bodes well for Kansas. But look, Kansas has got to play better basketball. Like, I think Bill Self would tell you, it doesn't matter who's in the bracket. They got to play better, and their health is most important. They got to find better, you know, more quality shooting, the three-point shot. They haven't shot the ball well, and they've not played well necessarily against teams that can really shoot it and space you and have multiple shooters. So it's a lot to, in terms of game planning and matchups and just Kansas playing their best basketball and getting back to who they are. And to be who they are, they got to be healthy. And Kevin and Hunter have to be good for them.
Did you fill out a bracket yet?
I'm in kind of the process of it. I haven't totally filled it out. I think I have my Final Four idea in mind.
Okay, who's that?
So Final Four, let's see. If I look at I got Kentucky in the South.
Mm-hmm.
I give the edge to Tennessee in the Midwest just because I think Dalton's that good. And I think he's kind of going to kind of be that, you know, tournament darling. And then I got UConn in the East. And then the West was pretty tough for me. I was kind of going back and forth. But I ended up going Arizona over North Carolina, which I think would be such a great Elite Eight matchup with the Caleb Love factor, given Caleb transferred from North Carolina to Arizona, Pac-12 Player of the Year. I think that would be kind of interesting. And then I got UConn winning it all. I just – there's I know that's kind of like chalky and – but UConn's the best team in the country, and I've seen them three or four times this year, and just watching them in the Big East tournament, they're playing to the caliber that they're capable of. They have so much firepower. They have a bench. They have length. They have size. They have guard play. They have shooting. They have a rim protector. I mean, they have all the pieces to run it back. If they were to get upset at any point, the tournament is wide open. But UConn is 100% the favorite, so I'm going to go with them. But I think outside of UConn, the tournament to me is wide open. That's the overwhelming thought for me is, yeah, UConn's the favorite. They're going to be my pick to win it. But the other teams, the other sides of the bracket get real interesting of how this is going to go.
And finally, how far do you have Kansas and Iowa State going?
So I think Kansas can get to the Sweet 16. I think Sweet 16 Elite Eight is in the conversation for Kansas. I think Purdue would be such an interesting matchup for Kansas, and I like that matchup for Kansas. Again, fully healthy, and playing their best basketball. It'd be a good matchup because I think, like, yeah, Hunter against Zach Edey, but also DeJuan against Braden is interesting. Kevin healthy would be a tough guard for Purdue, and if Johnny Furphy, I go back to Johnny, and I know he hasn't played well, but if Johnny can catch some fire and give them something and be efficient and have, you know, double-figure scoring game and rebound the ball and they can maybe get some bench production, I think Kansas can beat Purdue. I think that's an open game for them, and I would be curious for that matchup. So right now I'm thinking Sweet 16, Elite Eight for Kansas. But again, like let's see how Kansas plays in these first two games. Like, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, because it really comes down to, I want to see how Kansas looks in this first game. Like, yeah. If they come out and play the way that Bill can get them to play, if they're good, and especially if Hunter's good and can be that dominant force on the glass, they should be fine in these first two games. But that's kind of open for conversation right now. And then the Iowa State side, look, I know, like, there's some frustration for some that they were the number, the eight overall, and you know, some thought they might be able to get that one seed given what they showed against Houston in the Big 12 championship game. But like Houston and what Houston showed, I saw Iowa State do this against Kansas State in Manhattan, where Iowa State still scares me from an offensive standpoint. And I know they can have good games where they can score it. And TJ, such a great coach. Like, that can't be overlooked. His ability to game plan, his ability to show different defenses and his coverages. They play with physicality. They don't foul. They rebound. They're very connected. They communicate at such a high level. their defense is going to travel, and their defense is what's going to carry Iowa State as far as they can go. But it's just like Houston for me. Like, I get a little worried about them on offense in the tournament. And we've kind of seen that before, past history of not just Iowa State, but teams that, yeah, they really get after you and they can guard, and then all of a sudden they face a game where they have to match a team's shooting or a team's offensive firepower, and they can't match it. So that makes me slightly nervous about Iowa State. I think they could get through South Dakota and Drake and Washington State. So I think they're a Sweet 16 team. I worry about them against a team like Illinois. Terrence Shannon is balling out right now. And, you know, Big 12 fans know that name, the Texas Tech transfer. He had 40 in the semifinal. He's playing at such a high level, and they got a lot of good pieces. They rebound the ball at a very, very high level. And one thing that can't be overlooked about putting a bracket together is these little details of teams that, you know, teams that guard, teams that rebound, teams that can shoot, teams that have great guard play, because guard play wins in March. But Illinois rebounds the ball. Their defense is susceptible, but they rebound the ball. They only give you one shot. And if you're not making shots, Illinois is going to have an ability to beat you and run away with it, because they limit you to one shot. They don't let you get offensive rebounds. So I think Illinois against Iowa State, that's a tough one for Iowa State for me in terms of getting past that. But Illinois has had some struggles in the tournament themselves. They got a lot to prove as well.
Thanks, Jarrett. Man, I appreciate your time. And, boy, if Kansas and Purdue play in the Sweet 16, just hope Matt Painter doesn't agree to play the game and then change his mind and not show up. He's done that in the past.
Let's hope not.
Yeah. Thank you, Jarrett Sutton.
All right, guys. Thank you.
See you later. He took it.
What are you referring to?
He took a job and then changed his mind. Didn't show up.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so do I. Back after this on WHP. After the show, I would like to go to lunch and have a meal. A succulent Chinese meal?
I've noticed a pattern of songs from Jake today.
Yeah, all songs that you think suck.
Except for that Beastie Boys song.
No! I'm going to read some copy here, and I would invite you to read the wonderful sponsors.
I'm a good sponsor voice guy.
Are you?
Yeah. Ooh. Many people have said that.
I want to meet these people.
March Madness.
Crap on Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, yeah, of course he is.
Here's my Eddie Vedder impression.
That's Eddie Vedder. It's not Eddie Vedder. You thought that was Eddie Vedder, didn't you?
No, he is doing an impersonation of Eddie Vedder.
Oh,
that's what Stone Temple Pilots
were. Wow.
Oh, that makes money. Let's try to sound like those guys.
I could say so many things.
I'm just trying to get a
March Madness. March Madness.
Inside jokes.
Succulent
Democracy
inside jokes.
Manifest. March Madness on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Is brought to you by Xfinity, Greenlight Dispensary, Hollywood Casino, Kansas Lottery, and Trailside RV. And the bracket contest, don't wait till the last minute. You're going to be running around here trying to fill everything in on Thursday. Don't do it. Do it now.
Go do it now. 810WHB.com.
Listeners can go to 810WHB.com.
All you got to do is hit the 810 Bracket Challenge button to enter.
Hit the 810 Bracket Challenge. Hit that button.
Hit it.
And you'll be entered.
Smash
if you
it.
Just do the legwork. Tell us about our wonderful sponsors of the March Madness Bracket Contest at 810WHB.com.
The wonderful sponsors of the March Madness Bracket Contest include Mr. Davis.
They're responsible for covering Todd Lebo's loins. He said that's the only underwear he'll wear now.
Is that right?
He set fire to the rest of them.
Wait, he wears underwear?
Yeah. Mr. Davis.
Ah. I'd like
Dewey's.
Try some Mr. Davis underwear.
Whenever you see Todd, now call him Mr. Davis.
Hey, hey there, Mr. Davis. Yeah.
I've heard about this underwear people talk about.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Truity Credit Union and Green Grass Cattle Company. That's where I get all my beef.
All of it.
All of my beef.
I need to get some beef from
there. Oh, man. It's wonderful, Jake. You'll love it.
If I only knew somebody that could hook me up with somebody.
You know, I know somebody that can hook you up with somebody.
That's what I need.
I'll hook you up.
I'm not asking for handouts here.
Green Grass Cattle Company. Why don't you come up to my next room? I'm going to be doing a couple of remotes up there here in the near future.
When?
Come up. We haven't finalized the dates yet.
You tell me when.
You tell us to come up there, and then I ask you when. You go, I don't know. How are we going to come up there? I'll go up there.
You will?
Yeah.
It's an awesome place. Their store up there is fantastic. They got all kinds of things.
I'd definitely go.
Right now, we're looking at June 13th for the next one. So we got a couple. We got a little couple months.
I can put it on my calendar.
Can I please get some luxurious need news? I just want to know.
You just have to wait and find out, buddy.
I just want to know.
I think it's going to be waiter closer to the draft time.
There we go. Seth Kaiser now just said the Chiefs. Even if the Chiefs are considering a wide receiver in the first round, they should seriously consider signing DJ Chark to be the committed deep threat. There you go.
Hey!
And again, now that the Chiefs have their primary guy for agency, I'll take DJ Chark as an added,
Not bad, right?
Yeah. If he was the only guy in free agency, then I would say no. Add him to Hollywood Brown, and I say yes. Back after this on WHB. Thank you to Todd Lebo. CJ Moore from The Athletic. Jared Sutton for joining us on the show today. Thanks for listening. Boy, it was a blast just to hang out for 4 hours and talk about sports. You know?
Oh, man. I wish we could do this again tomorrow.
Okay.
You're in luck, Nate. We can.
Hey!
Well, okay. Well, all right. Ugh. So long, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.